Welcome, all you believers, idealists, skeptics, and all those who question the universe around them. I'm Bailey.
And I'm Ty. Welcome to Cult Talks Conspiracy.
Before we unseal this file, we wanted to fill you in on some really exciting news.
For as little as $3 a month, you can be a part of our pursuit to hashtag question everything by clicking the support the show link found in the show notes of each episode.
Your support would mean the absolute world to us and help us dive deeper into the mind-blowing conspiracies you, Ty, and I all love.
Thank you for joining us, seeking the truth, and as always, question everything.
You're listening to a Cult Talk Network podcast.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas would soon be there.
Welcome, all you believers, idealists, skeptics, and all those who question the universe. I'm Bailey.
And I'm Ty.
Merry Christmas!
It is that time.
So exciting. So exciting.
Starting to feel a lot like Christmas.
Yes. Yes. We're 5 days away.
Yes. We are. This is the second video, part of our Cult Talk Net, a very Cult Talk Net Christmas 2.
Yes.
Our returning Christmas event. Mm-hmm. Here at Cult Talk Net, and this is the second video you're getting. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, you have been treated to the glory of Bruce to kick off our Christmas week. Mm-hmm. As we took a look at his Hallmark movie, One December Night. So here we're talking today on Cult Talk Conspiracy. This is a special bonus.
Yeah,
you will have just got an episode last week, and here we are again. And we decided what we would do for this week is a little something cool. I guess I had never really considered this as a conspiracy.
Me either. But it's kind of, I don't know, maybe more of a cryptid, you think?
It's one thing, honestly. So you have aliens, you have ghosts, you have Bigfoot, mm-hmm. and then there are, you know, there's literally hundreds of reports of these entities every year. But I think one of the weirdest things is there is actually a pretty decent sized community of people who have reported real life Santa Claus encounters.
Oh yeah, it's a thing. I kind of jokingly meant it when I brought it up to Ty the first time, like, hey, let's do Santa Claus. And then he came back and he's like, Bailey, there's actual stuff on here. And I'm like, oh shit. Yeah. So
I was pretty surprised. I was thinking, like, how are we going to actually do this? Like, well, I didn't know if we was going to like try to make up a conspiracy or what. But yeah, once you Google real life Santa Claus encounters, you do find a pretty decent amount of people with very vivid reports.
Oh, yeah. It's wild. It's crazy. It's also like super, I don't know. So this is like my favorite time of the month, like during Christmas time, because like, no work's actually getting done in the office. Everyone's putting it off until next year. All like everything just feels like Christmassy and magical. And like we live in Ohio, so like I don't know. I think like the past two Christmases we got a white Christmas. I feel like the past two.
I think so.
And I think this year we're gonna have another one. Hopefully I'm right. So it's just such a warm feeling, and I love it. Yeah, this is exciting. I'm very excited. I'll talk about my thoughts on. I don't know. We'll talk about our own thoughts on Santa Claus, the big man.
Yeah, because I mean, I think Santa Claus is infinitely ingrained with the idea of Christmas. You think of Christmas, you think of Santa Claus. I mean, just, though, if anyone that doesn't automatically have that iconography, when they think of Christmas, the big jolly old Saint Nick, that's your first thing you come up with. And to find there was this actually a community of people who have these very vivid memories of encountering Santa Claus was pretty interesting. So I guess it just never been on my radar. I never researched it. I've never felt compelled to look into it. But for the there just to be a pretty sizable community there, I found a paranormal researcher by the name of Stephen Wagner, who did a pretty good job of compiling a pretty comprehensive collection of real life Santa Claus encounters that I was able to dig through. So
that's super
enough
cool.
enough stuff where people are, you know, able to compile this stuff together.
That's super cool because we both did research on this, and I did not research him. I researched another paranormal investigator who has also looked into super Santa Claus encounters, and also I think it's called liveabout.com, who also did a comprehensive list of Santa Claus encounters. I think is what it's called. It's like a blog channel from what I gathered. But that's super cool. And that just shows you like how big that community is of people. Cause like we did like, oh my gosh, that's woo.
Separate research and yes. found different databases.
And like a lot of them too. A lot.
So we did both decided. We were if you guys are following us, you know, here for our specials, we do the encounters episodes. On our last encounters episode, we did Men in Black for Black Friday. We did one each, but we decided for this, we're going to do two each. A little Christmas bonus here for everybody for very cult-net Christmas too. I think without further ado, let's just kick it off. Yes. I pulled two that I thought were pretty interesting because they both kind of have different, very different feels to them. And even the way that the, way Santa Claus is presented, which I thought was pretty interesting. So I'll go and start here with the first one. A person going by Claxton Kalmbach is how I presume you pronounce his name.
That's the best guess.
Or Kalmbach, if you wanted a Kalmbach, maybe. Claxton Kalmbach. But Claxton Kalmbach claims to have had multiple encounters with Santa Claus over a 5-year period. So that's why I chose this one. It's a recurring thing. I wasn't able to find anyone else with kind of like a multitude of sightings, but this person claims to have had 3 unique sightings over 5 years. So I thought it was pretty interesting. So on Christmas Eve in New York City, in a big home, Claxton had decided to go to their room to watch TV. The house was full, as I from what I understand, the house was hosting a party of some sort. There was a lot of family, a lot of friends in. So Claxton decided they were going to go to their room to get away from everything and put on some TV to kind of escape. Mm-hmm. So after trying and failing to find anything worth watching, Claxton began to pace the halls of their home out of boredom. It was then they saw a tall, fat figure cloaked in red scurry past them 20 feet away. Freaked out, they quickly ran downstairs where they stayed with the rest of the family the rest of the night. Not sure if they believed they'd seen Santa or not, the thought of someone being in their house was enough to terrify them.
Eek!
So so what I understand, they're just warming the halls of their house, and in front of them, they see this figure cloaked in red just scurry past, like something out of like a horror movie. You know,
where,
like,
my gosh.
The creature just like goes by the camera real quick.
It was Krampus.
That's how I presume that was.
It's Krampus. He's coming to get him.
Could be. Now, 2 years later, again on Christmas Eve, they vividly recalled lying on their couch while their parents were in the other room in the kitchen making dinner. Now this one I thought was the most interesting of all three of the ones he gave, because this one seemed like the most like engaging one. So he's laying on the couch, they're laying on the couch, and suddenly a huge man that they presume to be 7-8 feet tall, draped in a red cloak, the man crawled beneath the Christmas tree. So he just appeared and crawled beneath the Christmas tree.
Just this giant man.
Giant man
popping up like, hey.
And the man crawled underneath the tree and turned to Claxton, where he raised his index finger and whispered, shh, then disappeared.
Oh, shut up. That's like a Tim. I could see Tim Allen as Santa Claus doing that.
They get the same. That's Tim Allen Santa Claus.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's just what I envisioned it as. Oh, my gosh.
Just shh, and gone.
Oh, I love it. Next one.
And the third and final occurrence would happen to Claxton in 2007, this time in the early daylight hours of Christmas Eve, where he saw what he said was a man in red. He spotted outside of his window for a total of 2 seconds as they scurried past the window. So again, another one of those horror movie things. Look out the window, there's a man in red, shoots by the window for 2 seconds and is gone, never to be seen again. So that was Claxton Kalmbach. He apparently is a recurring, a serial Santa Claus encounterer, experiencer. We'll use that term, experiencer.
Oh my gosh. That is amazing. I don't know, man. Part of me wants to be like, are you constantly like between the nice and naughty list, and that's why he's like coming to scare you out of your bad ways before you like start fucking shit up?
Maybe.
Oh my gosh. Like, that's really cool, actually, to see that three separate times and three separate scenarios, really. Because, I mean, yeah. The first two, I mean, yeah, he's in the house, but he's doing two separate things on both occasions.
I think the second encounter is the one that gets me, where, like, that seemed to be the more interactions. The other two accounts, from what he claims, he just saw someone in red shoot past his line of sight. Mm-hmm. But the second encounter is pretty creepy.
Yeah.
You know, you're just laying on your couch and all of a sudden a giant, and how are you not like screaming or like,
yeah,
you know, I would be terrified.
Especially if he's like that big and just appeared underneath your Christmas tree. Like, I'm sorry. Like 7 or 8 foot, that's definitely bigger than I am. So right. Yeah, no, I'm calling for help.
But that was my first one of the recurring encounters of Claxton Kalmbach.
I love that.
A New York resident.
Love it.
That's all I know about them.
Love it. So I also have two encounters. They kind of teeter along the same line, but also two separate feels. So the first one I have for you takes place in 2005, also on Christmas Eve, which I don't know if both of yours take place on Christmas Eve, but both of mine take place on Christmas Eve. And first of all, I would be napping. Like, well, I guess separate time zones. Anyway, I forgot. Yeah. Blonde Bailey came out. the nap is strong with this one. So anyway, 2005 Christmas Eve actually takes place in Lancaster, Ohio.
Wow.
Yeah, I found an Ohio one. And when I was reading part of the article, it said, why do all weird things happen in Ohio? Or why do most weird things happen in Ohio?
Well, weird things happen in Ohio.
It's because we're over a Hellmouth. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I'm obsessed. So Holly Pierce, who is an avid true believer, Santa Claus believer, claims she saw Santa's sleigh. So she was 8 years old at the time, and it was around 11 p.m. after her family's church service, Christmas Eve night service. And she was actually the first outside of the church service that night. And she actually recalls the night air and how it was a clear, cold night. And she recalls from the corner of her eye a shimmer like coming through. Like, you know how sometimes like you see like something catches you, like a lot of the time, like, yeah. Anyway, and she follows that shimmer that's in the corner of her eye, and she looks up and sees what looks like Santa's sleigh. She said it looked just like, yeah, going like right above her, like in the sky. And she claims that it looked just like it did in the movies. It was pulled by reindeer, and it left a trail of glitter that would disappear behind it.
Interesting.
I know.
Very cinematic.
I know. Very, very mystical. So she was sure of what she saw. She is like 100% sure of what she saw. And she actually was interviewed by a paranormal investigator.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. His name is Tobias Wayland. And he's written a couple books and, you know, seems legit.
Very interesting name.
Interesting.
Tobias Wayland.
Tobias. So, and she said, even despite being an imaginative kid and only having the encounter for a few seconds, she is sure of what she saw. So, and on top of that, which I found was very interesting, she's actually had three separate UFO encounters.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and she says that one actually included her family. And it was actually like a black triangle shape flying overhead. Which I think we talked about during, which one? Was it Men in Black?
We talked about one, a similar thing to that, about the Phoenix Lights.
Yeah. Very similar to that. So, and for a while, she really didn't want to like talk about it, you know, was kind of embarrassed by it. But later on in her life, she decided that, you know, I saw Santa's sleigh. So like, that's what it was that I saw.
Wow.
So yeah,
so I've seen multiple things like UFOs in the sky and stuff.
Like, yeah. Oh yeah. Wow. She has seen like multiple stuff. But the thing about it is like, she's 8 years old and the encounter only happened for a few seconds at that. And, you know, it could have been a meteor, a shooting star.
Right.
But I don't know. Like, why would it? I guess it would leave glitter behind it. Well, not like glitter. With although
stardust kind of.
Yeah, thing, stardust. Guess. Yeah. Although, if there's like glitter, if Santa's putting off glitter in the sky, I want to know what that's doing to our ozone.
Could be the main reason global warming. We're gonna say
Santa needs to. That's why Santa
chemtrails in the sky.
Oh my gosh, that's why he's only allowed to take one trip around the world a year. So minor little bits.
So my second counter, the reason I picked this one is because this one has kind of like a creepy vibe to it. And that's kind of what drew me to this one.
Ooh.
It has like a very kind of, there's some uneasiness to this. So this comes from a woman calling herself Anna. And she recalls when she was 5 years old. This is when this occurred. It was early Christmas morning, well past midnight, when she heard a noise downstairs that drew her out of bed. As she crept downstairs, she was surprised to find a large man with a shaggy white beard and a red suit.
Mm.
As she stood in the presence of the man, she felt a very eerie dread come over her, almost like this man was staring into her soul. After a few seconds, she broke free, turned, and ran to her parents' room. She dismissed this for years as a dream until she was an adult and recalled it. And now she adamantly believes that she was in the presence of maybe not Santa, but some sort of entity.
No,
so I thought that was pretty interesting.
Oh, that's creepy. I like it. I like
the idea of a Santa entity being able to see into your soul.
Yes,
that makes sense. Like, yes. If it was an entity, that would be his like thing. It's like looking in your soul, tell if you're naughty or nice.
Yeah,
like a ghostwriter kind of thing.
Yes, maybe that's how he does tell if you're naughty. Yeah, like just looks into your soul. Like, I like that. I like that a lot, and it would if he's like an eternal entity. Like, I mean, it would make a lot of sense. That's me going, I need to do Nordic research on Santa Claus. By the way, like, how many books do I have? Okay,
there's a great episode of The Librarians.
Yes,
where Bruce plays Santa Claus, and it's pretty interesting. Cause he plays multiple Santa Claus from all different
Like time
lores. Yeah, different time, different lores. He's based like a universal Santa, and it's pretty interesting. So he goes through like the Norse Santa and the Viking, the Greek Santa, things like that. It's pretty interesting.
That's so cool. Oh, I love it. That's one thing that I do. I also love about like Santa Claus and everything is like how many variations there are of him. And just like even if he's called something else, like, I mean, it's still Santa Claus. And like it's
the
all
Santa, the Santa we know is like, isn't it like a creation of Coca-Cola? Didn't Coca-Cola pretty much design like the modern interpretation of Santa, or is my mistake about that?
Here's the problem. The southern part of my brain is going, yes! Like, but the rational part of my brain is going, I don't know. So I'm going to go with, I don't know.
Maybe they just popularized it. They could just popularize it. But for some reason, obviously Santa Claus is like a pretty big part of Coca-Cola's marketing campaign.
Oh, yeah. They have.
For some reason, I have a recollection of reading something about how they created the whole image.
I feel like they definitely, if not created it, they definitely had a huge hand in it, because they have huge Christmas marketing. Like,
oh yeah. The polar bears, the Santa Claus, all that stuff.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Coca-Cola. Anytime I picture a Santa Claus, he's drinking a Coke. Like,
That's because Coke's the best.
Yeah. Coke Zero.
Coca-Cola.
Coke Zero guy.
I'm a Diet Coke girl. I'm not going to lie. I'm definitely a basic white bitch.
I don't know the difference between Diet Coke and Coke Zero, but when I have the choice, I choose Coke Zero. I don't know why.
There's a difference.
I don't know the difference, but I choose Coke
Zero. You know what the difference is? The fucking name.
Yeah, probably, because I've had them both. You know, I get them both dependent on, you know, the availability, but if it's ever between Coke Zero and Diet Coke, I choose Coke Zero.
I'm 100% the same way. Like, if there's not Diet Coke, but like Coke Zero, like, it's definitely the second choice. But I'm definitely the Diet Coke girl. Like,
On to your fourth. On to the fourth story.
On to the fourth.
Your
final
second counter for Santa Claus encounters.
Yes. So this actually takes place in 1980, also Christmas Eve. And this is happening while Miss Wags is coming home late from a Christmas party with her family in the car as well. So they're pulling into the driveway when they look up and they see this illuminated thing over top of their house. like floating over top of their house.
Oh, wow.
And they very quickly realize that they are most likely looking at Santa Claus's sleigh because they are deafened by the sound of sleigh bells.
Wow.
Like, remembers this vividly. And the sleigh was actually lit up so brightly that it illuminated Santa Claus, who was on top of the sleigh led by reindeer. And she did go on to say that she didn't recall how many reindeer there were reindeer.
Interesting.
Oh, yes. So, and before he flew away, Santa, as kindly as you can probably picture it, waved goodbye to the family as he was getting ready to fly away. So
very friendly Santa.
Very friendly. Very, very warm, fuzzy feeling. So Miss Wags did question this encounter, whether she dreamed it, maybe she imagined it, you know, up until 2009 when she was actually Black Friday shopping, standing in a checkout line at Target, because all the wonderful things happen at Target. She started chatting with the woman in front of her in the checkout line. And the woman in front of her, without knowing what the encounter that Miss Wags went through, started to recant to Miss Wags the encounter that her brother had had just 2 years prior, where he would describe an illuminated sleigh with the deafening sound of sleigh bells.
Wow.
And after that, Miss Wags went on to say that every Christmas Eve night, she looks up in the sky and looks for Santa Claus and his sleigh.
Oh, nice.
It is so cute.
Yeah. How interesting. We didn't know each other's stories when they got, but I camp with all, both my stories involve like Santa entering a home and yours involve a sleigh.
Yes.
How
yes.
interesting is that?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, I'm partial also to stories about Santa Claus sleigh, because like there was 1 year my dad paid the neighbors to get on top of our roof and stomp on the roof. Nice. So I don't know if he paid him. He might have just asked him, but I remember like that happening, and we just ran, me and my older sister just ran into bed, and like it was best. It was awesome. So yeah, I'm partial to that. But that's so cool. I love the three encounters that one person had, and then just the eeriness of it. The eeriness of it.
I
think that Santa Claus, here's my thing, and I have an explanation. So I believe in Santa Claus, but I believe that he is the spirit of Christmas. Like, I believe that there's like power in that energy that, you know, he
You think
puts
he's
off.
Like my energy of some kind.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Cause I mean, just think about it. Like, you see a picture of Santa Claus and you're jolly. It brings you joy.
Right.
Like, there's very few things on, you know, at least in the U.S., I'll say, that can omit something like that universally.
Oh, true. Yeah, definitely is a feeling that comes with Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. Just seeing him. I mean, it's jolly old Saint Nick. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's what he is.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the thing with reading about these encounters that I found pretty much universal amongst everyone I read is there's two things that people are very adamant about.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, one, they were not dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
And two, which I thought was pretty interesting, most of them will adamantly state they do not believe in Santa.
Really?
But they see this thing. So I think that was pretty interesting. A lot of the encounters I read, it was like they were not dreaming, they don't believe in Santa, but they think they saw Santa, which I thought was kind of interesting. Yeah, and they're very vivid memories.
Yeah.
These people have. Like, they're able to recall small details. Mm-hmm. It's pretty interesting. It's all when people were kids, too. Mm-hmm. Most ones I read.
Yeah.
People as kids, which was pretty interesting as well, you know, because Santa Claus is supposed to be this figure for kids. Now, I know I read like a while back a theory on Christmas movies,
because,
you know, people always talk about the biggest plot hole in a Christmas Santa Claus movie is like, what are the parents, how do the parents not know there's more presents or know where these presents came from?
Yeah.
You know, people always say that's like the biggest plot hole with any Santa Claus movie.
Oh, yeah.
But I read this like interview, this like, not interview, but this like fan, you know, brain theory of like, well, maybe Santa Claus implants false memories, or maybe these gifts are only things the kids can see, kind of thing. You know, maybe that's what it is, some kind of like, you know, power he has. But interesting thing, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe every year we get visited by Santa, we don't know it, because as far as we know, the presents are from our parents. Maybe they just have false memory of buying them.
You know what, I'm okay with that kind of mental implantation. I'm okay with that kind. I'm cool with that.
I have another theory for Santa.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Why do I feel like I'm going to like this less?
Santa equals ultra-terrestrial.
Go on.
That's it.
No! I must have more!
The ultra-terrestrial thing just forever lives my mind ever since hearing about him. What if he's just an ultra-terrestrial?
I have to have more to that, though.
Ultra-terrestrial could be anything, apparently. According to John Keel, ultra-terrestrials are just whatever we want them to be, so... Or whatever they want to be. So
maybe
Santa Claus is just an idea that it's some ultra terrestrial.
Maybe
that's Santa Claus.
I don't know. I don't know. I need to know. See, I'm too much. I don't know. I have to like know the ins and outs of the ultra terrestrial because like if they can be whatever they want to be, can they be God? Don't answer that.
They can be anything. According to John Keel, they can be ghosts. They can be Bigfoot. They can be aliens.
Okay.
Whatever they want to be, whatever they got to be.
Now I'm remembering this. I blocked this out. Okay. Yeah, that's a scary thought. But I mean,
maybe ultra-terrestrials.
But it would make sense, though. Santa Claus. It would make sense, though, because like as far as like things that have been rarely seen, but people do adamant believe in them. Like he's in there with like Bigfoot and
right.
Mothman and everything. Cause like there's something impactful that happens at the time of his sighting, which is Christmas. So
and, John Keel, I know when he's talking about ultra terrestrials or what I read, you know, I haven't done heavy research on ultra terrestrials mm-hmm. yet, but we got to do that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
He did talk about how like it would be these beings who would use these powers to take forms of entities to, kind of persuade people's beliefs or how people behave, and Santa Claus falls in that line. You know, it can mm-hmm. you know get someone to quit. You know, little kids, you can get the be good by you know mm-hmm. claiming your old call Santa or whatever. I mean, things like that. I mean, it could be something along those lines, and it would explain like the mass sightings and mm-hmm. how deeply rooted it is into lore and history and stuff like that. I mean, just an idea I had. I was like, maybe he's an ultra-terrestrial.
It would make sense. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a smart plan, man. I don't know.
Ultra terrestrials are just something you can put as you can say anything's ultra terrestrial.
It's an ultra terrestrial. Like. Mike's an ultra terrestrial. Yeah. We figured it out. Yeah,
anything be ultra terrestrial. You don't know. It's just it's a wild concept he can't flip. But there you have it.
That's awesome.
This is our Christmas special, our very first Cult Talk Conspiracy Christmas special, Santa Encounters.
Yes.
And I would definitely implore if you haven't. If you've never done this, go online and look up just these Santa Claus, real life Santa Claus encounters. It's crazy. I did kind of stumble across like a couple wild Santa Claus conspiracy theories that I brushed off. Like some people believe that he is, or a lot of old timer, like boomer people have an idea that maybe Santa Claus was communist propaganda.
Oh, like, the man in the red suit.
It's a theory. Man in red suit brings gifts if you behave a certain way. People do have that idea. I read a couple little articles about those. Made me chuckle. Or these boomers just have an idea that this guy is. It's all a communist ploy.
Man, I found some of those on Reddit. Red. And at first I was like, I've been doing too much Cold War research.
Yeah,
because they were like the first ones up, and I'm like, oh, exactly. Whoops! Reddit.
I kind of skimmed those. I didn't dig too deep into those. I was kind of rolling my eyes, giggling when I read those.
They're funny.
This was a pretty good little special. I didn't expect us to find so much on Santa Claus, but this was fun. It was fun looking into this kind of stuff, and I definitely implore people look into it because it's a very interesting community. I think if anyone listening has any Santa Claus encounters, let us know. Go to our Instagram or YouTube, or you can DM us on Instagram, whatever. Well, I'd love to hear anyone's real life Santa Claus encounters.
Absolutely. I want to know. Like I said, like if you've seen him, I really want to know because it'd be cool.
We have a lot of stuff here this week. This is a Cult Talk Net Christmas 2, and we have a full week schedule. This is what we do around Christmas. We don't do the Cult-tober treatment where we do a whole month. We just give you guys a jam-packed, solid week of content from all of our shows. Yesterday, you got Call to Campbell bringing you One December Night.
Yes.
Today, you have Cult Talk Conspiracy with the Santa Claus Encounters. Tomorrow, we have some special for you guys on our Wednesday release. Thursday, Call to Lore is putting out a special Christmas episode.
I'm excited. I'm excited.
I am, too. Friday and Saturday, we have a two-parter. Yep. It is our first ever Cult Talk Net Christmas Gift Exchange, Palooza. I'll throw Palooza on there.
I like Palooza. I think it's cute.
Palooza's an exciting adder onto anything. You can add a Palooza to anything, and it makes you immediately more excited for it.
Palooza? It's a fun word. Palooza. Yeah,
anything. You throw it on anything, you know. Notebook of Palooza. You know, and then all of a sudden you're excited now.
Mike would be excited just at the notebook part.
Probably.
But I'm excited.
Homework-a-palooza.
Homework-a-palooza. I'd do homework then.
You're excited.
I would do homework.
But we're going to be doing that. It's a two-parter. And the concept of that is the first part, we all took turns drawing a name from a hat.
Mm-hmm.
We each had to pick each other's names. And that person, you then had to gift them a movie to watch and review.
Yes.
That's the way we decided to do it.
Yes.
And then part two is going to be those reviews. So it should be really fun. It's hopefully it becomes a annual tradition.
I hope so. I had a lot of fun. I just very recently, because we're in the past and it's before the start of the holiday season, picked out my movie for Ursa. And it was like, it was just kind of like a split decision. Like I thought about it and I hadn't thought about it in such a long time. And I'm like, oh, I fucking love that movie. So I sent it to him, and he gave me a little heart. So hopefully that means he doesn't hate it or hate me by the end of it. I don't know. We'll find out. So,
and then Sunday, Christmas Day, we have this is kind of a special thing in general. It's our Christmas special, but in addition to this, it is also the debut of our new show.
We're so excited!
A new Cult TalkNet show, following in the same vein as Cult of Campbell. We will be doing Cult of Russell, where we're going to start breaking down the career of another king of cinema, Kurt Russell. What better way to kick off Cult of Russell than with a Christmas special for Christmas Chronicles.
And he is quoted as saying that that is his most proud project. Like, he is the most proud of that role.
That's awesome. Being Santa Claus.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. Ben and I watch it every year, and we try to watch it when we go over to his parents' house, but Ben and I at least watch it together. So it's our tradition. Oh yeah, it's so cute. It's awesome.
It's a cute movie. So we're going to be doing that on Christmas Day. So I hope everyone joins us for that Christmas Day release. But yeah, this is a Cult TalkNet Christmas 2. Very excited. We're glad we can kick things off here in the early days of it. And we have a lot more content to go. Yes. And we hope everyone has a very Merry Christmas and a safe week. Because there's a lot of travel this week. So you got to be careful.
Yes.
Cult TalkNet will be with you the whole way through. You can find some of ours every day to listen to keep you busy while you're traveling around for the holidays. I hate traveling holidays. So
I just hate being in the car for long periods of time. Like, even going up to Columbus, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to get out. I'm done. Can't. Yeah, nope.
I hate it.
I cannot stand
it. It's like an hour and a half travel for me, minimum, whenever I go to my family things. So now I live in the city, so I travel out of the city, out in the country, and I hate it. I'd much rather stay here in my apartment.
Yeah, everyone's like, I think the longest one is like 45 minutes for us. So, depending on where we're going. So, 45 minutes preferred. I won't say which family member that is. But anyway.
Well, hopefully, everyone's ready for the holidays. Got all your Christmas presents and your stocking stuffed and your dinner getting ready.
Hot cocoa.
It's a big week. It's a big week. So we're glad we can be with you guys this holiday season. And thank you for listening, all of our loyal fans. We really appreciate everyone that tunes in, listens to any of our shows. And this is all for you guys. All this bonus content we put out just for our fans, just people to have something to enjoy and listen to. So without further ado, I think that pretty much does it. That wraps it up here for Cult Talk Conspiracies. Very first Christmas special. We will be back next Tuesday.
Yes.
This is just a special bonus episode. So you're getting your regular episode every other Tuesday, still going.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be bringing you guys Project Bluebeam.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Or Operation Bluebeam.
Operation Bluebeam. Mm-hmm.
Operation Project Jibber.
I think they're interchangeable.
I'm doing Bluebeam. I think so too.
Yeah.
But I'm doing Bluebeam, and Bluebeam blew my mind the first time I heard it. So
I
have to do that early. Yes. I have to get that thing out early.
Nice.
Originally, when we scheduled things out, I thought my regular release was going to land on this day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I did Bluebeam, because I thought it had kind of a Christmassy vibe or kind of like a religious theme to it. So it almost was our Christmas special, but Luckily, things end up different. We're able to bring you guys a special episode. Yeah. Blue Beam, look out for that next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Without further ado, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, safe travels. Yes. I've been Ty.
I've been Bailey. Merry Christmas. Question everything.